This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Praise God. What a privilege to share the word today. He's risen. Got to be glad about that. Praise God. All right, I just want to look at a couple of scriptures. First of all, we'll look at Matthew and chapter 27. Just while you're getting there, I'll get my glasses out. Matthew 27, Jesus has been taken to the cross, and we'll read from verse 45 of Matthew 27. It says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour," in other words, 3 hours, "there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" That's quite a cry, isn't it? "And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, 'Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were dead, were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly." I bet they did. "Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God." What I want to focus on is that verse, in verse 50, it says, "Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." It says the same thing in Mark 15:37. It says the same thing in Luke 23:46. So after he had the wine on the sponge, he cried out with a loud voice and then yielded up his spirit. But I want us to go to John 19. And I believe John tells us what he actually cried out when he was, after he received that wine. Where are we? We'll read from verse 29 of John 19. Now it says, "A vessel full of sour wine was sitting there." Remember, he cried out thirst and they wanted to see if Elijah was going to come. "And they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." The Greek word is just one word, finished. And he's not saying, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished. The work is finished." The whole purpose that he came to that point. You know, so often he's trying to tell the disciples, "I'm here to fulfill all scripture. I'm here for a work. I've come to do the work of him who sent me. My Father sent me to do a specific work." And the cross was the culmination of that work. And so he gets to this point where it's prophesied in Scripture that he cries out, "I thirst," and wine, sour wine was given him to drink. That's the last one he fulfilled on the cross and said, "Finished." And it was a triumphant call, a triumphant cry, and then he yielded up his spirit. He yielded up his spirit. "No one takes my life from me. I give it." He gave his life for you and for me. At any point of time, he could have called on the Father. 12 legions of angels could have come, delivered him, set him free. At any point, he could have done that. Man, if you want a hero, I've got the greatest hero that's ever lived. He yielded up his spirit. But I want to look at that. He said, "Finished, done." Do you know the Bible talks about the works of God? In Psalm 111, I've got it written down. What if Psalm 111, I just want to talk about the works of God. You know, Jesus said, "I've come to do the works of him who sent me and to finish his work." Well, it's literally what he did on the cross. Finished. I've done it. I've done it. And that was a declaration of victory. Not "I'm finished." It's finished. The works of God, Psalm 111 and verse 2 to 4 says, "The works of God are great." They're incredible. They're enormous. They're studied by all who have pleasure in them. Have you ever thought about studying the works that God has done? You know, a lot of people read the Bible and think it's a disjointed collection of wise sayings and different stories, and don't realize that this is his story. This is history. His story. God's story. He's trying to get through to us. You know, sometimes, what does the Bible say? The Greeks, they look for wisdom. The Romans look for power. The Jews are looking for a sign and a wonder. And God's telling us his story. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." It's a story because it is the power of God to everyone who believes. God, this Bible's amazing. Every time, this morning we've heard the prophetic word about Abraham taking his only begotten son, because God calls him. Says, "Abraham, get your son, Isaac, the one that you believed me for, the promised son. Now I want you to take him and sacrifice him." What does he do? He goes 3 days' journey. 3 days. You ever heard that before in the Bible? It was Jesus 3 days in the belly of the earth. Have you heard that before? Is this echoing his story? Right throughout Scripture, right throughout history, this story is echoing to anyone who can hear it and understand it. How shall they believe if you haven't got somebody to go and tell his story? There's something powerful about a story. You know that a story rings true. I believe, this is what I believe, that a lot of the movies that we see, you know, like an epic movie, you know, a great movie. I don't know if you've seen that. What's that story? Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. You know, I remember reading that as a teenager, and 3 books you had to get through. Man, that was a lot for me at those days. But anyway, I read it because I got caught up in the story. I'm not a great reader, but when I got caught up in the story, I was a good reader. And I read this trilogy, this amazing story, this epic story that just had so much in it. You know, I was caught in the story. And I believe that most of the stories that we get caught up in or that touch us are stories that actually touch on the themes that the Bible is talking about. You know, a heroic feat or against all odds. You know, the themes of the Bible talk about, you know, a God so pursuing his creation was totally lost, totally without hope, and yet he pursues us. And yet he finds a way where there was no way. We know what the Scripture says. All have sinned. No hope. Not for any one of us. No hope whatsoever. In fact, Jesus said, "You find the worst sinner that you could possibly find. Do you think you're any better than them?" No, you're not. You're exactly the same. exactly. That's the truth. Man, that's a hard truth, isn't it? God, I'm just a person whose intentions are good. What a lie that is. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know? Well, God knows it, but he loves us. What a story. What an amazing story. The scripture is full of it. The story. So here's Abraham, takes his only son, and God says, okay, go to this certain place. I'll show you where it is. And he offers his son, he puts his son on the altar, stretches out his knife to kill him. And God says, don't do it. Yeah, he's enacting God's story. All of scripture is talking about the story of God. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said to the Pharisees, the religious leaders who read this book, they knew it back to front, but they didn't see the story. Isn't that amazing? I want to show you something. Sometimes you can see something and you can't see it. You're missing it. Have a look at this picture. How many have seen this before? Probably most of you. All right. Ripper. I had this little flashy thing. Got it from MFI. Little laser printer, you know. How's that? So you can see two ladies in this. One is a lady that's looking sideways to the left. That's her chin there and her mouth and her eye. And that's her nose. Or you can see the other younger lady. Here's her chin there, and that's her ear. There's her eyelash and her nose, and she's looking away. You see the two there? Now you can, and show the next one as well, if you wouldn't mind. Thanks. Okay. If you concentrate, look at the bottom of that picture. Am I in somebody's way? If you look at the bottom there, it looks like it's convex. Is that right? No, concave. If you look at the bottom. And if you look at the top, the bricks in the middle there, and focus on that, it looks like it's convex. Have I got it wrong, Beth? Concave is in. How's that on you, Sonny? You're wrong, Beth. I don't often get a chance to say that. We'll make the most of it. So there you go. You can put that off. Thanks. All right. Sometimes we can't see his story, but it's all through it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you found life. And they were looking at a bunch of rules and regulation, a bunch of methods, formulas for success, and they didn't realize, Jesus said, but every single one of them points to Jesus Christ. And I've shared it before. You know, that song I learnt when I'm so glad I learnt certain songs when I got saved. I opened up the Bible, and what did I find? A black and white portrait of a king who's a friend of mine. And that's how I read the Bible. I read, this is incredibly good news. This is a story that we're all involved in. God so loved the world, so that's his focus, that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That story is written from Genesis to Revelation right in here. And it covers every single one of us. You can find yourself in this book wherever you look. I mean, think about the characters. Think about Job. Can you identify with Job? Can you put yourself in his place? What about a man named Jabez? Jabez. You know, here's a man whose name means pain. His mother bore him in pain and called him pain. Well, that's not too good a pronouncement over your life. Be careful what you call your children. And the Bible says, he cried out to God. He knew that God had a better history for him, a better story for him. and he identified with God's story and says, God, I know that you're there. Cried out. He said, bless me. Oh, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge me. Are you big enough to take somebody whose name means pain and actually turn that around so I can bring a blessing? How many of us can identify with that? Every single one of us. We have all sinned. That will cause pain to yourself, pain to your families, pain to others. But God is able to take a hold of that and turn it around, not by some secret formula scripture, but by Jesus Christ, because all scripture speaks about Jesus Christ. This is an amazing... Oh, look, you take every character. You can imagine, pull any punches. What about Hosea? What about this prophet that's called to go and marry a prostitute? Well, that's a tough call, you know, and then pursue her. Don't give, even though she's gone away, you go and pursue her and speak again tenderly to her. Well, the Bible says every one of us is just like that prostitute. Every single one of us has gone away from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone his own way, and the Lord laid on him. Who's that? Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And he called us back. And just like Hosea was sent by God, go love a woman who's rejected you and gone away from, go love her again. And God's done the same thing for you and me. And amazing, we can identify with his story in every page of this book, if you will only just see it, because every word is talking about Jesus Christ. Every great story has certain elements in it that grip our hearts. And it has a... And the reason for that, every great story that we go to see or read has these elements in it that touch our hearts. That's why they work. Because they touch on the elements in this great story. Here's the criteria for an epic fantasy. I don't know what got me onto this, but I think it was looking at Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. An epic fantasy or story must contain certain elements. And they're these three things. It must be a trilogy or longer. It's got to be a big, long... It's got to be a good story, a long story. Have substance. Two, its time span must encompass years or more. Have we got one that encompasses years or more? A lot more. It'll take eternity for God to unveil and show the things that he's actually done for us. Number three, it must contain a large backstory or background or universal setting in which the story takes place. Has the Bible got that? I'm gonna tell you, this is no fantasy. This is no fantasy. This is a reality. That's why those stories that are fantasies touch our hearts, because they touch on a reality. As they ring true. There's something that rings true in them. You think about that with a lot of the old nursery rhymes. What about, and stories like Sleeping Beauty? Think about the church that's called the Bride of Christ. Think about this church that's asleep until the prince, that's right. The prince comes along and true love and all that sort of thing. How many love Shrek? I love Shrek. I love Shrek. Just, I think it must be the Irish accent or whatever it is. I love that film. That's the first film I ever watched twice. Wanted to see it in one week. Just, I love the start of it. Everything. Very funny. Anyway, that's getting me off the topic. The gospel, the Bible doesn't... Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And so, you know, that's why when we tell our personal testimony, our personal story, it rings true. It's what a powerful thing that you have. My testimony is a powerful thing about how God got through to me, how he broke through my blindness. And when I tell my story, it rings true for others. It's not a makeup thing. So when you tell your story about what Jesus has done for you, it rings true for other people. They know it. And that's why God uses it in a powerful way. So I'm saying that to say, you tell your testimony. Whenever tell your story, because it's part of his story. That's why he came and died, so that we could be free. Now, in saying all of this, if you just turn over to Luke 24, we're going to read what happened to two disciples, a change that was brought about. And I want you to keep in mind that sometimes, you know, that picture that I put up, that sometimes God can be trying to show us something and we can't see it, because we're not there. God's got to adjust us so we can see things the right way. I mean, there's lots of ways that happened. As I was coming back from basketball with Bev and my brother Peter, and we're coming up through Sherbrooke Forest, and just after you pass Macorba Tavern there and come around the first steep bend, I think, or a corner, I say, and then another one, Peter says, oh, there's a, what do you call it, a fern, a palm tree there. He says, not a fern. He says, a palm tree. And I said, oh, I didn't see it all. There is ferns there, Peter. You must be imagining things. So about 2 or 3 weeks, I'm ribbing Peter. Every time we come back from basketball, it's on Wednesday night. Well, it's a bit harder now. It's getting dark. But when we got back, and I'd say to Peter, oh, where's your imaginary palm tree, Peter? You know, I missed it again, did we? Because I missed it, so I'm ribbing him. And Bev's seen it. I still haven't seen it. Bev. So Peter, after that ribbing, because I kept saying, point it out for me, he, I'm laughing at him, mocking him, and in a good-natured way. Well, I felt it was. Anyway, I'd rib him, and Peter actually one evening had to drive down there to find exactly where it was so that he could point it out to me. Still hasn't done it. I miss it every time. But as Bev said, there is a palm tree in amongst all the tree ferns. I don't know why it's so hard to see. It just, anyway, it's there. So I thought about how you can miss something so easily. So in this story in Luke 24, there are two disciples. Well, actually, the first part of it, verses 1 to 7, talks about the disciples coming to the tomb, or the women coming to the tomb, and they see two angels standing there, or two men in shining garments. They speak to them and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. And Jesus kept telling them what he was going to do, but they couldn't hear it. They couldn't see it. It did not fit into their picture of a saviour and what he was going to come and do. They had a specific view of what they thought Jesus was going to do. And that came about through what they believed and what they saw and what they felt the Bible was saying. And they said, don't you remember what he said to you? Verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. But that was just deleted. Couldn't see it. No, that's not going to happen. Don't believe that. And it happened. So verse 13. Now behold, two of them, two disciples, were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How many would like Jesus with you? Yeah, I'm trying to trick you here. Don't you know he's with you? Yeah. Sometimes you think, oh, I'd like to be in those days and have that. Well, you've got much better now. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. but their eyes were restrained so they did not know him. I wonder why their eyes were restrained. Well, let's read on. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened in these days? Are you blind? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Oh, there's that 3 days again. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they'd also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Listen to what Jesus said. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning where? At Moses? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the Psalms are prophetic as well, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. It's his story. It's his story. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Isn't that interesting? You know, in the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle built, which was the house of God, and they had in there a table with bread on it, and it was called the bread of his presence. Isn't that amazing? The bread of his presence, and they would break that bread and eat that bread. So as he broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, verse 32, this is what gets me. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our heart burn within us? You're only going to see something if you look for it. But it's here. It's here. No wonder God said to Joshua, if you meditate in this word day and night, it's not kind of some secret formula. It's his story. Joshua's meditating in this word day and night, and he said, you're going to make your way successful. I'll give you victory wherever you tread. So he's meditating in this word. It's a story about Jesus. And as he meditated in it, God opened his eyes and he began to see what it was all about. He began to see what this tabernacle was all about. It was all talking to Jesus. You know, Moses' tabernacle, 3 parts to it. The way, the truth, the life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You know, as Israel's camped out in the wilderness, their whole camp outline was in the shape of a cross that you could only see from up a mountaintop. And so it's all there. It's all there. And whoever meditates in this word, it's not like your meditation is giving you power or something, but you're meditating on the story that God is trying to get through to every single person. He so loved the world, he made a way where there was no way, where it was impossible, so that no one should perish, but all of us should have eternal life. How good is that? How good is that? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I'm just going to finish with this before we ask Bev to come up for communion. The gospel is a story. The good news is a story about what Jesus has done. It's incredibly simple. It's incredibly powerful. And it covers the ages. It covers every single person who's ever lived or will ever live on the earth has got to hear that story. And it's always been there. Day to night, the Bible says, utters speech. God has shown forth his handiwork through all creation. It points to Jesus as well. All of it does. So that no one has any excuse and say, well, you never showed me, because he does. I believe that with all my heart, because I believe God. My philosophy is that let God be true, every man a liar. My experience is not the truth. My experience is just my experience, but it's not truth. God's word is truth. What he says is truth. He says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. They ring true. There's no fault in them. Here's the impact. Often we ask God, what can I do? What do you want me to do? And they ask Jesus that. They actually said after he'd done this miracle of providing those loaves and fishes and fed this multitude, they said, this is the guy we want. They said, what do we do to work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. He said, it's Jesus. That's our work. That's our work. It's to believe the story. Believe the gospel. Believe it. That's the work he's asking us to do. And here's how a story, you know, stories impact us. Somebody can come and tell you a story and it can affect you negatively or positively. You know, in World War II, when the news that the war was over was announced, proclaimed, then people were dancing with strangers in the street. They were so elated, so joyful that finally the war is finished. I mean, their circumstance didn't change right there and then. They still were struggling for food, still suffering the effects of it, but what they knew was it's finished. Now we can get on with life. And people were grabbing strangers and dancing together in the street. So I tell you, when a person believes, you can always tell. You can always tell because they're kind of happy. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm eternally secure. Who can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Can trouble, famine, persecute? Nothing. I'm totally, eternally secure in him. So you can always tell a person who's received the good news. Praise God.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.